Hello, family. Happy Thursday. Woo, seems like I haven't spoken to you in a minute. Happy Thursday. Happy September. Happy fall. Happy day. And I hope your day is going exceedingly well. Mine is going absolutely fabulous. These are some of my best days. And I hope these are some of your best days, too. I am telling you, you know, we really have to live above the fray because there's so much going on. But Connie, I am living on a higher consciousness. Absolutely. So I am bringing you some joy. Yes, indeed. We are still on the joy train. Can you imagine we are now in September, the middle of September, on our way to the greatest month of all, October. And some of you, you know why October is the greatest month of all. Mm-hmm. Can I hear you? Can you tell me? Can you tell me why? Can you tell me why? Uh-huh. I hear you. Yes, it's the greatest month because my birthday. Yes, indeed. My birthday is October 15th, and everybody who knows it that I'm always excited about my birthday. Every year is a special year. You know, people will ask, is this a big birthday? Every birthday is a big birthday. So I'm excited, but I'm also excited about September too. And all of you who are having birthdays in September, happy birthday. Happy birthday. And you know, we are excited about, you know what happens in November? Oh, yes. Healthy Churches 2030 Conference, November the 14th through the 17th. Registration is open. And I want to thank all of you who took advantage of our opening promotion. You all jumped on that promotion. You jumped on it, and we already have over 500 people registered for Healthy Churches. You all are no joke. You jumped on it. Don't stop now. Tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your daddy, tell your sister, tell your pastor, tell the deacon, tell the missionary board, tell everybody, tell the folks who drive the car, tell Aunt Mary, Aunt Sue, Uncle John, tell everybody that Healthy Churches 2030 is coming. It is coming your way November 14th through the 17th. Go to the website right now. Well, after the podcast, and go to healthychurches2030.org, healthychurches2030.org. You can tell I am excited. I'm excited because we got a conference coming to you. Now, I know you say, Pranessa, how in the world could it be better than last year? Last year was over the top. I know, but you got to come. You got to come and bear witness to what God is doing this year. You're not going to believe it. We are bringing you once again the best of the best. We have the top public health folks in the country coming. We got the top theologians coming. We got gospel artists coming. We got transformation speakers coming. Oh my goodness. We got them coming, coming, coming. They are coming just to share with you. So guess what? You got to show up because we got the folks coming to talk to you. It's exciting. November 14th through the 17th, Healthy Churches 2030 Conference. You know, the bomb in Gilead, of course, we are always busy. Want to give a shout out to our project out there in Chicago. We are bringing peripheral artery disease awareness and want to thank our churches in Chicago who are hosting our events. They've been hosting them now. We started in, I think, August, and we are going right through December. And I just want to, you know who you are. Thank you so much. We've just been having a rich time and bringing people into understanding peripheral artery disease, that you don't have to have your legs amputated and your toes amputated. You know, you can get screening and get diagnosed firsthand, and then prevention first, but then get screened and go and get the right doctor. Keyword on the right doctor, because every doctor did not graduate top in their class. So we want to make sure that we have the right doctor who is going to serve us appropriately and righteously in Jesus' name. Amen. We are just so excited for what God is doing with the bomb in Gilead all over the country. I was in Wake Forest, North Carolina a couple of days ago. I've been to, I'm in and out of South Carolina all the time because, you know, I'm from the Low Country and I just love the Low Country. We have been in Georgia. We have been in, of course, we've been in Boston because now we got the kid. Maurice is now at Berkeley. We've been in Connecticut. Man, we have had a time. And guess what? We're not stopping. There's no stopping this train because to whom much is given, to whom much is given all in my life, in my world, and in my affairs, to whom much is given all is required. And I am just so blessed and so highly favored that God continues to bless me with just one more new idea every day. And I'm just honored to be a servant. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's Dr. P on the pod. It's Thursday, and I got a guest for you today. You know, this is Prostate Awareness Month. Ah, yes. And we're going to be talking about prostate awareness. Yes, it's Thursday. And if it's Thursday, you know it. It's your girl, Dr. P, and we are on the pod. My guest today is Dr. Angelo D. Moore, and Dr. Moore is the Assistant Director, Community Outreach Engagement and Equity at Duke Cancer Institute down there in North Carolina. And Dr. Moore provides overall direction, coordination, and implementation of Duke Cancer Institute's community impact design projects to reduce cancer outcome disparities. Dr. Moore, welcome to the pod. Welcome
Thank to you. The pod. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me today.
I am so glad to have you, you know, and this topic, prostate awareness, is so, so important to us. And, you know, we do a lot of, you heard me talking about all the products and all the, with our faith-based organizations and churches and congregations around the country, our diabetes program. And the one thing that's always at the end, men, you know, men, we are now moving into actually focusing on, you know, the women will come, but yes. We have got to get men into our health and wellness programs because usually there's one man. I mean, we are jumping for joy if we got two men in our programs. Dr. Moore, tell us about what we got to do to bring the brothers in the home, I mean, in the house, what we got to do to get them involved with their health?
Yes. I mean, a great question, you know, and when I speak to men, I tell them, listen, we need to take care of ourselves and our bodies so that we can be around. Our queens want our kings. They want their kings around.
Absolutely.
And we don't want to leave their family in disarray because we didn't take care of ourselves. You know, and some of it is, you know, the pride that we have as boys and men as we grow up. They tell us, you know, be tough, suck it up, don't complain. And some men consider seeking health care as seeking help. You know, and so we have to, you know, the macho-ness, you know, have to go away because, you know, we adopt macho and being prideful. You know, and
That's
so we
right.
really need to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of our families.
Absolutely. So why is prostate cancer important for Black men? That we're talking to the men who don't know, the brothers who hear about it. You know how we go.
Absolutely.
Why is this topic so important to to the sisters? It's important to the sisters too, because sisters, we got to help the brothers get to the doctor, get screening.
Absolutely. And that's what I do. A lot of when I market into women, I really target women because we know women are the ones who get the men to get care. You know, we call them the CMOs, chief medical officer. They're the ones who get men to, hey, whether it's the spouse, whether it's the daughter, you know, somebody's going to get the man to go. Unfortunately, we need that help. But why is this important to men, especially black men? Is because we die 2.5 times more than any group of men from prostate cancer. So this is the number one killer for black men. That's why this topic is important. And I'm glad you talked about the church and the faith-based organizations. It's great for us to take care of our spiritual health, but we got to take care of our physical health too. You know, our body's a temple, right? So how are we honoring God if we not take care of our temple?
That's right. That's right. How are we honoring God if we're not taking care of our temple? Let's talk about screening, prostate cancer screenings. You know, can you, what is it? How often should we get screen? When should we get screened? You know, I just went for my mammogram this week. Mm-hmm. That annual mammogram, and I got a colonoscopy coming up. I don't like that
one. We got to get that done.
I don't like that one at all. Oh my God, I'm putting that one off, but I got to get it done, Dr. Moore.
Yes.
Let's talk about prostate cancer screening. What is it?
Yes. So for men out there and for women, the prostate gland is about the size of a walnut. It has many functions. However, the prostate gland is one gland that continues to grow as you get older. And so the prostate gland in itself, you know, you can screen for prostate cancer. And so I want to make the clarification. Screening means you actually evaluate something when you have no signs or symptoms that something is wrong. That's why you screen. The moment you start having problems with things, that's not really screening. You're looking for something that is wrong. Hmm. So it's difficult for some men to understand that you might be feeling good. You may not be having any issues, but you need to screen so we can catch these things early on. So when it comes to prostate cancer screening, there are two things. It's the PSA, which is prostate-specific antigen, which is a blood test, and it's the digital rectal exam, you know, where we can palpate some of the prostate at that time. However, we have new technology. We use an MRI. So the way it works is, and let me just tell you at what age you should start screening. In 2010, around 2010, there was two huge clinical trials that came out that says screening for prostate cancer does not save lives. So these two particular studies had like 10,000 men in them. And so all of a sudden it created all this confusion. Men was starting to get diagnosed early on and catching prostate cancer and having better outcomes. But then this study, these two studies come out and it create all this confusion. They say, okay, we don't need to start screening for it. You don't need to start screening until you're 50 or 55 years old. Now, what's really important to understand that those two studies, it's really important for men, black people, to be involved in clinical trials. Because in these two clinical trials, it only represented like 4% of African Americans was represented in that study. So what that means is that information that was found in those studies, those recommendations, didn't really apply to us. So you're telling a black man not to screen for prostate cancer until he's 50 or 55, but we have black men that are dying and being diagnosed at the age of 42 from prostate cancer. So the only way to identify prostate cancer early on is by screening. And for African-American men, we are considered the high-risk population. So because we're in the high-risk population, we're supposed to really start screening at age 40. At age 40, your initial time, you need to be talking to somebody and say, hey, I need to start screening for prostate cancer. And, you know, and what we do is we educate people, because without education, you're not able to advocate for yourself.
That's right. Okay, brothers, you heard that. We need to start screening for prostate cancer at 40 years old. Mothers, we got to talk to our sons. We got to talk to our husbands, young sisters, We got to talk to our cousins. We got to talk to Bobby and them, Mikey and them, Jerome and them, Jeremiah and them. We have sisters. We got to get on this because we are losing our brothers. We are losing our kings. We are losing our fathers. And do brothers need to go and get prostate screening every year? Is it annual?
A great question. It's important that they start screening at age 40. Based on what that screening is, what that number is, determine whether or not you should go every year or every 2 years. Because it's important at a certain age, and I'll say like at 45, you need to start doing it every year. Because we need to see the change from year to year. Because this year you may be okay. The next year the number may increase. And I just want to make sure you all are aware, just because your PSA level is elevated, it doesn't mean that you have prostate cancer. It means something is not right. Mm-hmm. We expect, because the prostate gland continues to grow over the years, we expect that number to go high, to increase every year, but it shouldn't increase too fast or too quickly. So that's why it's important to consistently have your screening done every year.
Wow. Okay. Brothers, start at 40 every year. Just like sisters, we got to go get our mammograms. We got to make sure the brothers, you got to go get your prostate cancer screening every single year. Dr. Moore, what can we do to, and what should we do? How can we do increase Black men participation in clinical trials?
Yes. So I think, first of all, we need to understand what it is. Clinical trials, it's a way that we test new treatments. And one thing I want to emphasize is you have clinical trials that may include medication, may not include medication. And we always, and people normally talk about a placebo. They don't want to be in a research study where they're not the ones that are getting the drug, But I can tell you that for the majority, almost all of clinical trials that are talking about cancer clinical trials, you will not get a placebo. So what you will get is you'll be selected for either you get the standard of care versus something that's new and great, that's better than the standard of care that others don't have access to. Not only that, but sometimes it may be at no cost, your care. But I can tell you, if you're in a clinical trial, you're going to get better treatment because the pharmaceutical companies and the principal investigators, the one that's really running this particular clinical trial, they want everything to go right. So they're going to want you to come in more often. They're going to be seeing you, checking in on you, make sure everything is okay. So you're going to get better treatment by being in a clinical trial. So it's really important to be in a clinical trial so we know what medications apply to us. There has been studies that have been done where we've had men in clinical trials, Black men, and they have actually had better outcomes than the Caucasian population or the European population. But it's important for us to know about these clinical trials. We understand that a lot of things have been done in the past to Black people when it comes to research. Most people know about the Tuskegee study. Okay, that's only one of hundreds, and our elders have told us about their experiences. But I can assure you, things have been put into place to make sure those things do not happen again. We have what we call the Institutional Review Board. I have sat on multiple institutional review boards where we're looking at everything. And the main purpose is to protect human beings. So there's a lot of restrictions to make sure that people are doing things the right way, making sure that you understand what you're getting involved in, and make sure that people that's in clinical trials, that they know that it is total voluntary. At any time, if you don't want to be in a clinical trial, you can say, you know what, I don't want to be in a clinical trial anymore, and you would get out of clinical trial, and they're not going to give you any less care or treatment. Some people are afraid to get out of clinical trial or a research study because they think that, they may not treat me as well. But no, it's totally voluntary. So it's really important to make sure that we involved in these clinical trials so we know what medication are good for us. Like I talked about those studies that was done in 2010. we wasn't represented in those trials. If we was represented, maybe they would have said, yes, it does save lives for black men, but we wasn't representative enough to even make a difference.
How do we find, you know, the balm in Gilead, we have been educating on clinical trials and the importance of clinical trials and why we must increase black folks. We must increase participation in clinical trials. That is something that's one of our mantras at the Balm in Gilead. I am challenged because it's so hard to find a clinical trial, so now we have some black folks who really want to be in a clinical trial, Dr. Moore, but it's like, where do they go to get in one?
Yes. You know, the first thing I would tell you to do is ask about a clinical trial. And what we have seen over the years is they just don't ask black people to be in clinical trials because, preconceptions. Oh, they will not participate in the clinical trial. They're going to say no. But if you never ask, then you never give them an opportunity to say no. But you can go to clinicaltrials.gov, clinicaltrials.gov, and it's a search engine. Every clinical trial has to be registered to this site. You can search at that site based on the particular diagnosis that you have or any type of disease process, even the location. And you can go there. Sometimes it'd be really technical to understand if you really qualify or not. They have what they call inclusion criteria, meaning an individual that can be included, and have exclusionary criteria, meaning individuals that are not doesn't meet the criteria for that particular study. But also at the bottom of that, it'll tell you a name, a phone number, an email address of somebody you get in touch with that works directly with that clinical trial that you can talk to and ask questions whether or not you're eligible for that particular trial. But I will say, ask. You know, and a lot of the clinical trials are co-located near academic medical centers because they have the infrastructure to support conducting that particular type of research, especially when it comes to cancer. So in your communities, especially in the rural part, you may not see or find access to clinical trials because it's not the healthcare infrastructure there. So sometimes, you know, individuals may have to travel, you know, for a distance, you know, an hour, 2 hours to get to the clinical trial. Some people go from one state to the next. They have relatives that live in one state. There's a clinical trial that they can be a part of. Some people do that. So, you know, the opportunities are out there, but I tell you, ask for clinical trials. You know, don't always tell them, say, you know, wait for them to tell you. You ask them. So we're talking about this particular diagnosis that I have. Are there any clinical trials that I may be eligible for?
Okay, that's good stuff. Ask. Everybody say ask. Ask. Ask for a clinical trial. If you have been diagnosed with prostate cancer, or there are prevention studies. There are prevention studies. You know, you don't have to wait to be diagnosed. There are clinical trials that, you know, we can get in as preventive medicine. So, there, family, we have got to get into clinical trials. Dr. Moore, you have been wonderful. We've learned so much today. We know that black men, brothers, we got to start getting our prostate screening at 40 and every year. We need to ask to get in the clinical trial. And, you know, we have to do these things. We have to do these things because, and sisters, we got to get involved. We got to get our men healthy. Yes, indeed. Dr. Moore, what else you got to tell us? I don't know what other question to ask. Yeah. What else you got to tell us?
Yeah, there's a couple of things I want to emphasize. The importance of getting screened and diagnosed early. So the key is when you get diagnosed in the early stages, stage one of cancer, when you're in stage one of cancer, that's the early stage. And at the early stage of a diagnosis, you have more treatment options available to you. The treatments are less harsh on your body. The treatments is less expensive and you have better outcomes. Often too many times, people wait until they start having signs and symptoms. Then they go in to get care. Then they start doing all this diagnostic testing to find out if they have cancer. And then they find out they, yes, they do have cancer. And not only do they have cancer, but they have cancer in the later stages, like stage 3 or stage 4, what we call metastasis, meaning that the cancer has spread beyond your organ, gotten to your lymph nodes. And when you're diagnosed in the later stages, which we find a lot with African Americans because we don't go and do the screening on a regular basis, we get diagnosed in stage 4 or stage 3, and it has spread beyond the organ where it originated from. And so once it spreads, you have less options available to you. The treatments are more harsh. The treatment is a lot more expensive, and you have poor outcomes. When it comes to prostate cancer, if you get diagnosed in the early stages, there's like a 98 to 99% cure rate if you're diagnosed in the early stages and receive treatment. And I also want to emphasize, just because you get diagnosed with prostate cancer, you have options. You know, you don't have to make a decision right then and there based on what they determine your Gleason score and what stage you're in. But I want to make sure that I emphasize to men. A lot of times men are focused on some of the side effects of having prostate cancer or having particular types of treatment, you know. And we need to make sure that we understand that, yes, most things you will get some type of side effect, but that doesn't apply to everybody. But that's why you talk to your provider and you look at the different treatment options that are available to you. You know, there's multiple treatment options based on where you're at on that spectrum and what stage you're in. But one resource I want to give to men, for Black men to learn more about prostate cancer, is Prostate Cancer Health Education Network. Prostate Cancer Health Education Network. This is a site that is designed, it was developed by a prostate cancer survivor. And he's been a survivor for, I think, I want to say 26 or 27 years now. And he took his experience and he developed all of these resources specifically for Black men. It tells you what is prostate cancer, what is a digital rectal exam, what is a PSA, what are some of those levels are. Also, he has information about clinical trials up there. You can go in and you can put your information. It'll tell you what clinical trials that you could be eligible for. Also tells you what treatment options that should be afforded to you based on what level of your prostate cancer that you have. There's also all kinds of educational things on there. There are plays called Daddy's Boys, and it's a play where they're actually teaching you about prostate cancer and all the issues that comes with it, but it has the content that helps you better understand prostate cancer awareness and treatment and options. And so it's really important. And let me speak to the women. Please support our men. We need a lot of help. You know, and I tell people there's a big difference between men and women as they experience the healthcare system. Women around the age of 18, 19, they start having well woman exams. They get pregnant. They see the OB doctor. They give birth to their child. They take the children to the pediatrician. It kind of starts over and they start on their health. For men, unless you're into sports, after age 21, there's no one telling you need to go and get screened for anything. When you're playing sports, you need a physical in order to participate. Once sports is over, there's nothing there. And then all of a sudden, you're almost 50 years old, and they tell you, you need to go get screened, and we need to do a digital rectal exam. And men, they don't feel comfortable in the healthcare system. Women are much more better in navigating the healthcare system. So women, we need your help. You know, some men will not go and see a provider without a significant other there. But I will recommend to have somebody there with you. But men, we got to take care of ourselves. You know, a small period or couple of seconds of discomfort is worth your life.
Well, there you have it, brothers and sisters. Dr. Moore, you've been absolutely wonderful. Prostate Health Education Network. Oh man, I hope you all had a paper and pencil today, but that's okay if you didn't, because you can play this podcast over and over and over again. You can send it to everybody you want to send it to. Send it to brothers, husbands, cousins, everybody. And to the sisters. Send it, because Dr. Moore has really, really, really given us some great information today. Dr. Moore, thank you so much. We look forward to having you on the pod again, and we're going to make sure that this podcast go way far, because it's Prostate Awareness Month, and for Black men, every month, every day is Prostate Awareness Day and month and year. Dr. Moore, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I did a webinar on prostate cancer awareness last week. And I have actually prostate cancer survivors talking. And so I'll send you the link and you can share that with your audience as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Well, family, you know what time it is. We got to go. Thank you so much for joining us on the pod today. And we're going to be here again next Thursday, because you know, if it's Thursday, it's Dr. P on the pod. Now go register for Healthy Churches 2030. We have group rates. We have individual rates. You don't want to miss it. Go register, because you know time is flying. Time is flying. Go register right now and play this podcast over and over and over again until you get everything Dr. Moore told us about. That Prostate Health Education Network, brothers got to start getting their prostate exam at age 40 and then every year, and we got to ask to be in a clinical trial. I mean, we did it all today. Family, love you. Gotta go.